We're continuing on the topic of Word of God, and I see many youth group students bringing their Bible, and it's so good to see. Okay, Word of God. Could you look at the title? We're talking about Christian Foundation and the Word of God. If you just look at the title. Word of God in your life is your foundation. Which means no Word of God, no foundation. That's what it means. I really believe. It is so fundamental that I feel entire month of December of 2016, which is this month, is worth spending time on just one topic, Word of God. Okay? It's like building your life on sand. Jesus talks about it. And you could build your life on the foundation of sand, and what's going to happen to you? It's going to collapse. Can you all look up here, youth group two? Okay, if you could do that, right? Look up here, please. Okay, just like a class. Okay, because I want to speak to you, not to your hair. It's like building your life. Could you imagine building your life on the foundation of sand? Because rain will come in your life. There's no question about it. Make no mistake about it. You're going to have rains. And you're going to have wind blowing upon your life. You know, it's just going to come. And the difference is, if you have a foundation of a solid foundation, you're going to be standing. If you have no foundation on sand, it's going to collapse. That's what Jesus said. And I've seen it over and over and over again. Yesterday, I had a chance to, take a little ride with my mother. She is 79 years old, okay? And you don't have to raise your hand or anything, but how many of you were influenced by the faith of your mother? You don't have to raise your hand or anything. I'm definitely one of them. My brother and I, definitely one of them. Yesterday, we went to pick up something, and we drove for an hour to Queens and then came back. And we were just talking. And she reminded me, last year when I was sick, I totally forgot about that. That how she told me, I used to say, oh, I so envy to be able to stand and speak to the people the Word of God. How I wish I said that. I totally forgot about that. And she reminded me how, Paul, you said that last year when you were sick. You really desired to, you really envy to stand in front of people, not standing in front of people part, but delivering the Word of God. Okay? And she said, and she encouraged me, I think God sees that heart. She encouraged me. Even yesterday, I think God saw that heart and has shown mercy upon you. I don't know how many of you grew up, your mom speaking the Word of God, showing what godliness is to your life. And I kind of imagine many of you grew up like that. And then the others of you, maybe not. But if you do, it's a blessing, right? Isn't it? Can I have the, yeah. So, today, 2 Timothy, while he's getting ready, 2 Timothy is the last writing of Paul speaking to Timothy, his son. Okay? Sort of like the last word of a father to son. You know, this week I went on a retreat with my wife and actually had to write that. And what a blessing that was. They somehow create an atmosphere that it really is the last moment of my life. I can't tell you exactly how they did that. But it really created that atmosphere. And I know it could be any moment that I could be called by the Lord to be with the Lord. And then they asked me to write last word to your wife and to your sons. and to your children. They give us like 30 minutes to write it. What would you say? What would you say to your loved ones if this is the last moment of your life? I think it's something like that. Okay? That's 2 Timothy. I'm just going to go over this quickly. As in paradise, God walks in the Holy Scripture, in the Bible, and he's seeking for you. Adam, where are you? It's a living book. He's looking for you. He really is, okay? And nature of the God's Word, we went over this last week. I want to just go over. Very unique nature of this book. Separating this book from every other book in the world in history, okay? And I'm confident about that, okay? This word, this book is creative and life-reviving. He breathed life unto you. He created heavens and the earth through the word. And he revives the soul, right? What other book is like that, right? And its purposes are irresistible, unstoppable. You can't stop it. You say no, it doesn't matter. What it says, it's going to be fulfilled. It almost sounds cocky, but I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. Because he is God. Okay? And third is unchanging. It does not change. He promises, he doesn't change. Immutable, right? Unchanging. We're not like that. We change words, human beings. But God does not. It's already written for you. And lastly, it is penetrating and piercing. There is no pretense, no lies. Everything will be exposed. That's a good thing. Because we live in lies. We even lie to ourselves, and we don't even know it. But this truth will pierce your heart so that you will have a chance to live. Can you imagine? Your life is rotting inside, and you don't even know it. But if you look at it, it's like a surgeon telling you, you need a surgery, and I need to put a blade on it. Right? And, you know, it's the word of God. If you don't deal with this, it's going to rot. It's going to rot, basically. Because we are made of deep, deep sin. It's deep. Okay? So these are some of the unique natures of the word of God. Okay? And Holy Scripture, Bible, the word of God, will tell you, you could learn something that you could never learn any other way. What you're made up of. Do you know? You know what Bible says you're made up of? You're made up of Adam, dust. And you go back to dust. Even the young ones, you will go back to dust. Every single one of you, me too. You too. That's what the scripture says. You are made up of dust, and you will go back to the dust. In other words, we all are destined to die. That's all you are. That's depressing. No. It's not depressing. I think when we come to the rightful place, then you'll begin to see the truth. Okay? And you know who you are. Do you know who you are? Right? Most people don't even know. I'm a Korean American. I'm Asian American. I'm an American. I'm a Korean. You know, that's not who you are. You know, you're 1.5, 2.0, 1.7, whatever. Right? That's not who you are. Bible tells you who you are. If you're in Christ, you're a child of God. Okay? And how we got here. Do you know where you came from? Do you know where you're going? Right? Bible tells you exactly that, actually. You came from him, and you will go back to him. Okay? Right? What else? And what are we required to do while we remain on here? What's the purpose of your life? Why do I need to study so hard? Do you even know? You just do it so that somehow you will do okay and make enough money to make a living that's comfortable. Is that what it is? You know, I was thinking the other day, none of you will take a single penny with you. Or maybe that's an exaggeration. When we leave this world, you do not take anything, just but one set of clothing. That's it. Isn't that what it is? So the greatest thing about this word of God is to know him. Why is that the greatest thing? You know why? Because God is greatest. If he's the maker, and if he's the one who finishes, right? And if he's the one who writes entire history in your life, isn't he the greatest? And we live like a fool. But God has spoken to you. Okay? And I was thinking about this. Can you imagine? I know this is not going to happen, but let's say Mr. Trump, looking for his cabinet members, and called me this morning. Okay? I need, I don't know, Secretary of Religion? I don't know. Okay? Could you do that job? Let's just say. Man, I may not even be here. No, I know I will still be here. But can you imagine he's spoken to me? He called me? Right? But God has spoken to you personally. God has spoken to you. Just think about that grace. And we don't even care. You know why? Because we are so blinded and full. That's why. Right? So, 2 Timothy, and I want all of you to think about this. I want to give you a little bit of context. See which word that Lord speaks to you the most. Youth group, would you do that? Would you do the same? There's going to be a description of what the world will look like. If you could just pick one word, I'm going to ask you, okay? Pick one word. Oh, that's me. Okay, here we go. Last days, there's going to be a time of difficulty. For the people will be, now pay attention, lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Oop. Okay, maybe speaking to some of you, right? Ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, angry person. There's no way to appease him. You're always angry, appeasable, unappeasable, and slanderous, always slandering someone, right? Without self-control, addiction, right? All kinds of addiction. We talked about K-drama and video games, just to name a couple. And there are many more, of course. I think smartphone is an addiction. Many of you are addicted to that, okay? And brutal, not loving God, loving good. Treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit. Lovers of pleasure rather than the lovers of God. Having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. There are a list of maybe 14 things. Which one speaks to you the most? Can one youth group student and just raise your hand and give me an answer? If not, I'll pick someone. Is there any one of them that kind of speaks to you? Lovers of pleasure, really? Praise God. Yeah. Aren't we like that, right? We love pleasure more than God. You know, if you look at this, basically, I was just looking at this during the week. Basically, two things. Lovers of self, or lovers of God. It's one or the other. And what are we dealing with? Word of God. Word of God stands between you being a lover of yourself and lovers of God. And I really see it like that. If you learn to treasure these wisdom, okay, life-changing power of God's word, you're going to become lovers of God. If you stay away from it, you're going to be lovers of yourself. You don't need to do anything, okay? I think that's what it is. That's the context, okay? But he's saying the last word to his son, Timothy, you, however, have followed my teaching. Listen to the emotion. Look how much emotion is flowing because this is the last word. Imagine your parent is dying and writing this to you. That's the emotion. Your mom, your dad. You followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim, my life, my faith, my patience, my love, and my steadfastness, my persecution, and my suffering. Do you hear his emotion? Do you hear it? His last writing. You know, I had to do that this week. And I tell you, I can't show you that letter, but nothing really mattered at that moment when I was thinking to my children, love Jesus, love Christ. That's the only thing I was writing. Nothing matters. I didn't even say, you study hard and get to certain school. That don't matter. That does not matter. But love Christ. And I want to see you in heaven with you. That's the only thing I was writing, But do you see the emotion, right? The world will be like this, right? Disastrous. This is 2,000 years ago. It's much worse right now. Do you think this describes this generation? Pretty much, right? Lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, lovers of money, treacherous, unkind, unholy, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal. Isn't that what this generation looked like? Absolutely does. But you, he's going to talk about the Word of God, okay? You follow my life, all of that, even the persecution. What was Paul persecuted for? Only one cause, the Word of God, the gospel, isn't it? This is the one last thing he really wanted to say to his child. Look up here, please. Yeah. We need to learn to do that. Look up here, yeah. You need to pay attention, right? Last word, he's saying. Last word is the Word of God. Do you know what happened in Lystra? Right here, Lystra. He was stoned to death for the Word of God. And still he's telling Timothy, his son, do that. It's worth it. Do you hear him? Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, all will be persecuted if you want to stand up for the Word of God. Make no mistake about it. Okay? Bible says, please look at me. All who wants to live a godly life will be persecuted. Right here. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You know why? It's not because of you. It's because of their hate for Christ. That's what Jesus said in John's gospel. Make no mistake about it. They hate you because you are not of this world, Jesus said. Right? Just as they stone Jesus, they're going to try to stone you. Right? But what's going to happen? The conclusion, the evil people will and imposters will go from bad to worse. It's much worse now, I think. Right? And deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, okay? Continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it. Okay? And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. This is the Old Testament, the Bible. Can I ask you, how many of you, growing up, maybe in the youth group too, your parents influenced you for the Word of God? They have. Man, you're so blessed if you are. I grew up, my mother telling me from fifth grade, nothing else. You got to go to church. In my college years at Stony Brook, I wasn't that a good person. I wasn't. Never missed church one Sunday. There are very few people does that in college. Because I remember and God graced that I was able to go to church every Sunday. You know, I go to the parking lot, and there used to be a church pickup from a local church in Long Island. And I'm telling you, the whole campus is empty. 11 o'clock at Stony Brook, it's empty on Sunday. Nobody's up. They got drunk a lot night before, and nobody's up. Right? But Timothy had a privilege from infancy, childhood. He had been acquainted with the Bible, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And I want to talk about that, okay? Could you repeat after me? Would you please? Make you wise. Would you repeat after me? Would you make you wise?
Make you wise.
Lead you to salvation. Bible does that. Make you wise. It doesn't make you smarter, worldly sense, but make you wise. Do you understand? Without it, what's the opposite word of being wise? Kind of foolish. Bible speaks that, foolish. Fool says in his heart, there is no God, Bible says. But Bible makes you wise, which leads to salvation. Okay? I want to talk about that, explain that to you, because when you think of the word salvation, what comes to your mind? Going to heaven when you die, right? No. Absolutely, that's salvation. But can I just tell you? Salvation doesn't start after you die. Salvation starts right now. There is a salvation future, if you never heard of this, and then there's a salvation present. You're living present, not future. You're living right now. And let me just ask you, you're living in hell right now with your spouse, and you go to heaven one day? Does that make sense to you? You're in hatred. You're so angry, and somehow you go to heaven and you are in peace? I don't think that's how it works, okay? So, can I just try to explain something? Salvation is to be set free from slavery of sin, okay? Working definition, which is biblical. Salvation is you to be set free, so you're not an angry person. You're not a judgmental person. You are not a slanderous person. Set free from slavery or captivity of sin. That's my working definition. And you are set free from the slavery of enemy to become a child of God. Salvation. That's pretty good, right? And I want to give you an example, okay? Here's an example. Let's say in your marriage, okay? Let's say your relationship with your parents. You could be very angry at them, or you could be thankful toward them, no? Of course, it's not that simple. It's not that, one or the other. There is an extreme. But I'm just giving you an example. Let's just say my marriage, okay, my relationship with my wife, I could be pretty critical toward her, pretty judgmental or cynical toward her, thinking that, man, I'm stuck. Or I could be merciful toward her. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, if you are critical and judgmental, what's going to happen? When you criticize and judge, what do you have to do? You're going to have to penalize her or penalize him. I feel like that's more of what's happening, right? So you penalize. In other words, you hurt or you kill him. That's what judgment does, right? What's the opposite extreme of salvation? You need salvation, right? Salvation present. Living in critical, judgmental, hatred marriage, salvation would be what? Being merciful. You need salvation. Don't you need that, right? And how do you do that? Scripture gives you wisdom. Gives you wisdom. Gives you wisdom that what? You know, here's the wisdom that the scripture gives. God is judge and God is merciful. Aren't you thankful that he's merciful? And God is the righteous judge. If he treats you with judgment, what's going to happen to you? What's going to happen to you? You're going to have to die, which is the truth. But he did not treat you with judgment, but he treated you with mercy through his son. Didn't he do that? Right? And you see that in the scripture. You see that wisdom. Whoa! I'm such a bad person. As you see Genesis 3, opposing God. I want to be like God. I want to stick my eyes in, my hands into his eyes. I want to destroy him. And if you look at Israelites, you are the one who are complaining all the time. Ridiculous people, Israelite people. That's me. You begin to see it. And yet God, who is so almighty, so great, showing mercy to you. You see that. Which leads to salvation. I need to look to Christ. If you do that, what's going to happen to your heart? The mercy will begin to trickle your heart, no? Sprinkle upon your heart, no? So how would you treat your spouse? How would you treat your child? How would you treat your husband? Mercy, right? Mercy. Mercy. That's salvation present. Here's what I'm speaking to you, brothers and sisters. Will you have salvation future without salvation present? My guess is very dim. Very dim. Right? You need salvation. And how do you have that salvation? You need wisdom from the Scripture. Right? Scripture gives you wisdom. Scripture gives you two major wisdom. Okay? If you could just pay attention to this. It speaks about you. It speaks about God. Okay? But the order it comes, it must be not from you to him, but him to you. That's what the Scripture gives you. Okay? Scripture does not focuses around you, if you notice. If you read the Bible, is it centers around you? No, it doesn't. It centers around who? God. Right? When you see God, you'll begin to see me because he made you. You try to figure him out from your standpoint, you will never figure him out. In fact, you're just going to criticize him, which is being stupid, ridiculous. Right? But the Scripture gives you wisdom about you and about God. And if you see God, you will then see yourself. Does that make sense? Because what you think really doesn't matter because it may or may not happen, but what he said will happen no matter what. It'll stand forever. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Right? An amazing thing about this book is if you truly pay attention to it, that great God who has all the right to judge you loves you. And you're gonna hear, he loves you. Because God is love. Right? Because God is love. That's what you're gonna see if you read this book. God loves me. Are you living salvation present? I'm just asking you. Are you critical? Are you cynical? Are you frowning? Why? Maybe you need the wisdom of the Lord. You don't deserve it. In fact, the Bible says what you deserve is nothing but the judgment and hell, which his son took upon himself on behalf of you. Right? So that's the salvation. Okay. Just want to give you two things about the Scripture. Scripture is the source of saving faith. Okay, there is different level of faith, I think, Scripture speaks about. Okay, you know it, some sort of faith, but it's not saving faith. Saving faith is more than that. You know, Timothy built his faith upon Old Testament. Right? Old Testament about Elijah, Old Testament about Moses, Old Testament about kings, Old Testament about David. Was that enough for Timothy to be saved? Not sure, but when the truth about Jesus Christ was taught to him through Paul, that Old Testament truth was actualized and he was able to have saving faith. I hope this makes sense to you. Okay, so Scripture is the source of saving faith. Okay, it says in Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. It's going to revive you if you read it, okay? And the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise and simple. You know why it was so complicated? Because you don't have the truth in you. That's why. You hear all these not true things. Okay? And in John's Gospel, chapter 5, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word, Jesus, if you hear the Jesus' word and believe him who sent me, have eternal life. Do you have eternal life? If you hear what Jesus said and believe in the Father, you have eternal life, the Bible says. Do you have eternal? You have eternal life. Salvation. Okay? You search the scripture because you think that in them you have eternal life. He's speaking to the Pharisees, right? In John chapter 5. But he says something provocative. Listen to this. But it is they that bear witness about me. We talked about this before. Entire book, theme is Jesus. If God opens your eyes and dig out your ear, right? Psalm 40, you'll begin to see Christ. Or else you will not see anything. And you're missing the whole ball game. Because he's the theme of history. He is. You say, no, he's not. Well, I hope, no, I know you're wrong, but I hope you're right. But you could be wrong. Scripture says he's the theme. In other words, my marriage, my career, my ministry, everything is all about him. That's what the scripture says, right? Jesus continue to tell you about this, right? One more. John chapter 5, verse 46. Again, Jesus. If you believe in Moses, he's speaking to Pharisees. Can you even imagine that? He's placing his life on the line saying this. They could kill him right there. And they did try to kill him, right? But if you believe in Moses, you would believe me. For he, Moses, wrote about me. Is that true? The first five books of Old Testament we call Pentateuch, right? Written by Moses. Genesis, Leviticus, help me out. Deuteronomy, Numbers, all these five books written about me. Did you know that? Story of Moses, story of Abraham is about Jesus. Story of David is about Jesus. Story of Israelite is about Jesus. Did you know that? It's about Jesus. Jesus, okay? And I want to jump to the last point. Scripture is the source of Christ-likeness. You become like Christ if you love this book. There's no other way, right? Same word, sanctification. Don't want to use that word here. Same word. Or godliness, all same meaning. This is the source of your maturity and Christ-likeness. If you love this book, that's what scripture, that's what God is telling you to do. Love this book, to become like Christ. Okay? Where do we see that? Right here. 2 Timothy 16 and 17, these are the last two verses. Can you look up here? Yeah. Please look up here. All scripture is breathed out by God and useful or profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Okay, can you look at this? It's all scripture. All scripture is God-breathed. Meaning, Genesis to Revelation, not just Genesis to Malachi, Genesis to Revelation, 66 books is from God and is about God. Shouldn't you pay attention to this? Shouldn't you pay attention to this? You know, yesterday I found out that in 2016 we started Bible reading. And many of us have started, and I didn't know what happened. But I found out that some brothers and sisters are finishing up. For the first time in their life, they read the Bible completely. Have you ever read this completely? Have you? You should. Because this is the counsel of God and the word of God. It's from God and it is about God. And they're finishing up. Let me just tell you something. I really believe once you get through once as a disciple maker for many years, it's a major breakthrough. It's a milestone. Most people don't do it. I don't want to ask you to raise your hand or anything to embarrass you or anything. But if you read it once, you'll know what I mean. It's a milestone. The kind of level of confidence you begin to develop in you is just different. Okay? I really encourage you. We're starting again, 2017. you could finish it. To know Him is the greatest thing. Without it, you are in complete darkness. Thy word is the lamp unto my feet. Without Him, you're in complete darkness. And you have no direction. A light to my path. Okay? What's the result? Result is you, men of God or women of God, may be complete or thoroughly equipped. Meaning, without it, you can't do it. You can't do the work of the Lord. Right? You can't do the work of the Lord. You'll be equipped and complete for every good work, which is God's work, which is what this history is about. God's men and women will be equipped with the Word of God. I want to finish with a story of moms. You know how did Timothy, you know how Timothy was became Timothy? Mother and grandmother. Lois and Eunice, from infancy, they were taught the Word of God. It was through the mother and grandmother. I don't know how many mothers and grandmothers are here. Maybe not grandmothers. Maybe you are. I don't know. I don't know how many fathers are here. As I was writing that letter this week, only thing that mattered at the end is to love Christ. Really, that's the only thing I wrote over and over and over again. Make sure. I was writing to my wife, make sure Tim, Dan, and Elizabeth will love the truth and love Jesus. That's the only thing that matters. Okay? Let's bow.